All right, brethren, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I do mean 2 Corinthians. Melinda told me when I got home Thursday night that I told you 2 Corinthians when I meant 2 Kings. I do mean 2 Corinthians. So sometimes there's a disconnect between here and here. Y'all probably don't ever have that problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, what does God accept? What does God accept? Now, that's a question every believer wants to know the answer to. And it should be a question that everybody wants to know the answer to. In our text today, God tells us what He accepts concerning giving. But the principle applies to salvation also. Now, the Corinthian church had been willing a year ago to take up this offering to give to the poor saints at Jerusalem. And so now Paul is telling them this. He says in verse 11, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now our subject is the acceptance of giving. God accepts that which is willingly given out of what we have, not out of what we don't have. Let me briefly touch on two points here, and then I want to get to that main point. First of all, God only accepts that which is actually performed. He only accepts that which is actually performed. He said there, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance." He's saying, don't just say a year ago you wanted to do this, but actually perform it. Christ was willing from eternity to be surety for His people. And we see how great His willingness was when we consider the fact that from eternity He knew that His people would not be able to pay or give the righteousness to the law that it demands. He knew that from the beginning. With our suretyship, we agree if we co-sign for somebody, become surety for somebody, we agree to pay if they can't pay. Christ agreed to be surety knowing we would not pay. So that shows you His willingness before the foundation of the world. Yet, not only was Christ willing, when the time came, He came forth and performed it. He came forth and performed that which He was willing to do. Look back at verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Paul said in Galatians 4:4, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." Christ came forth, and He did it when that predestinated hour came. Now, secondly, not only does God accept only the performance, God also only accepts the performance from a willing mind. He says there in verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted." Now, did Christ perform the work of redeeming His people willingly? When He came forth, did He come forth willingly? When He went to the cross, did He go to the cross willingly? He said in Psalm 40, in verse 8, "I delight," that's willingness, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." This was the willingness of His heart. He said in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." This was His heart. This was His meat. This was His willingness to do the will of God. And it was by that willingness that He perfected all His people. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 9 and 10. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant of works, that he may establish the second covenant, which is the covenant of grace, by the which will. You see that? By his willingness. By his willingness, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all time. What does it mean? Look down at verse 14. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, you know what we see in Christ? We see in Christ, when we see God raise him from the dead, we see God accepted him, God raised him from the dead, and we see in Christ that God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a willing giver. Christ is preeminent in everything. And Christ is the preeminent cheerful giver. He willingly gave himself. Now, concerning a sinner, from whom does a willingness come? Where do we get a willingness from? We didn't have a willingness by nature. By nature, we hate God, according to Romans 8:7. We didn't have a willingness by nature. If there was a willingness by nature, everybody would come to Christ whenever they get ready. But they don't and they can't. So a willing mind in a sinner must come from someone else giving us that willing mind. Well, Scripture says a willing mind comes from Christ and His power. When God raised Him, God made Him the head over the church to fill all in all. He fills all in all His people. That's His glory as the glorified God-man mediator to fill all in all His people. And so when God raised Him, Psalm 110:3, God made this announcement. He said, Thy people, not everybody, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb or from the beginning of the morning, thou hast to do of thy youth. And he's saying there by that is that beauty of holiness from the beginning will be when Christ, by his willingness, gives us that willingness by entering into us. He makes you willing. Christ makes us willing to repent from our works. He makes us willing to cast all our care on Him and trust Him alone to save us. And Christ makes us willing to perform every work that God foreordained that His people shall perform. Christ works the willingness in us to do every work that God has before ordained that we shall perform. Listen to the Scripture in Hebrews 13:20. It says, Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, now that God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's Christ. God works in us through Christ working in us, and He makes us willing to do that which is well-pleasing in God's sight. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when we have a willing mind and we perform a work like giving, who do we glory for that? We don't pat ourselves on the back. Glory in the Lord. Listen, look at 2 Corinthians 8 and look at verse 16. Titus had a willingness to help the church at Corinth. Look at who they thanked. Thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. That's who we thank. That's who we glory in. We thank God. We glory in God because He gave us this willing mind. Now, lastly, this is what I want to focus on most. God accepts that which is given according to what a man has. See there in verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now, this principle applies not only to giving, but also to salvation. Now, when we have very little money, let's use this as an example. Giving doesn't just include money. It includes our time, our service, our bodily service, caring for somebody, and any other possessions that we have. It doesn't just include money, but it does include money. So we'll use that as an example. Let's say we have very little money. Well, we tend to think along these lines. We tend to say, well, I have so very little to give, and the amount I could give is so very little, I'll just wait till I have more. That way I can give a more substantial amount. All right, let's apply that to salvation. What if I said, well, I believe on Christ, but my knowledge of Christ is so little, and my faith is so small, I think I'll just wait till I have more knowledge and more faith, and then I'll come to Christ. The man who does that won't ever come to Christ. You see, what's happening there? What's happening there? That man is making his knowledge and his faith to be the deciding factor on whether or not God will accept him. That's called works. That's works. He's doing that rather than trusting his acceptance is by Christ only. It doesn't matter the quantity of your faith, big or small. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have of him. If you know your need of him and you know he's the only salvation of his people, that's all you need to know, is to know him. Know he is my salvation. It's not about how much we know or how much we believe. That's works. Well, that same principle applies to this thing of giving. If I'm waiting to give until I have an abundant amount, I'm making the amount I give to be the basis as to whether or not God will accept it. That's works just like the other. Same just like the other. God only accepts us when we give out of what we have. Now let me apply this to salvation. In our natural state, we did not have anything to give to God. We did not have anything to give to God. We had no righteousness according to the law. We had never kept the law ever. We had no holiness of heart. We had no liberty to be able to approach God freely, willingly. We were in bondage. All we were was sin, and all we could produce was sin. Well, if we try to bring righteousness or holiness to God that we do not possess, that we do not have, God will not accept us. He will not accept us. It's accepted according to what a man hath, not according to that he hath not. What did Christ have? When he presented himself to the Father to be made a substitute in place of his people, what did he have? He had perfect faith. He had perfect faith in God who promised him that when he had finished this work, God would raise him from the dead. He had a perfect, sinless perfection to give to God. And he came to God, and God accepted him because he had perfect fitness to lay down his life in place of his people. He, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. That's what he had. And so God accepted him according to what he had. Now, what did Christ have when he cried, "It's finished"? What did he have then? He had a perfect satisfaction that he had obtained to God's holy law for God's people. Perfect satisfaction. He had perfectly glorified God by honoring God's holy law. That's what he had. And God accepted him according to what he had. He raised him from the grave, set him down at his own right hand, and gave him the glory to call out his people. It's accepted according to what a man hath, not according to that he hath not. So after a sinner's drawn to Christ now, God gives us everything through Christ. And what do we have? Well, Scripture says, all things are yours. You who believe, Scripture says, you have all things. We have perfect righteousness before the law of God by Christ's obedience to the law. We have that through faith in Christ. Do we make void the law through faith? Through faith in Christ, do we make void the law? No, God forbid. It's through faith in Christ that we establish the law. We have a perfect righteousness in Christ, by Christ, by what He did. We have a perfect holiness, not a perfect holiness, because we have sin mixed with everything we do, but we have, in that new man, there is a perfect holiness that Christ is. Because by the Holy Spirit, He's made us to be born again, and Christ is entered in, and Christ is holy. And wherever Christ dwells, He's holy. And we have a perfect holiness in that new man that Christ has created. And so when He brings you to God and brings you to Him, because He's made Christ our willingness, our wisdom, we have now the mind of Christ. We can spiritually discern things that we could not spiritually discern before. We understand the gospel now. So we come to Christ with nothing but Christ. Because in Christ our all, we have all. And God accepts us in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. It is accepted according to a man hath, not according to that he hath not. But what if we say, well, I'll come to God when I'm able to gain a little more righteousness. I want to add some righteousness to what Christ gave me so that I have more. And I want to add to the holiness Christ is so I have some little more holiness by what I've done. God won't accept it. He will not accept it. We recognize that to be making our works the deciding factor as to whether or not God will accept us. We easily recognize that as that's works. Well, understand the same is true. The very same is true if I determine to wait until I have more before I give. Because then I'm making my ability to be the deciding factor as to whether or not God will accept it. God only accepts a gift out of what we have. Now, by Christ's works, we don't need to add to what we already have in Christ to find acceptance with God. We don't need to add anything to Christ, what Christ has made us have. We add nothing to that to find acceptance with God. It's accepted according to a man hath, and we have all in Christ. Now, the same is true concerning our giving. God does not measure our giving by the amount that we give. He measures it by what we have to give. Think about that. It's not quantity. It's not quantity. It's according to what we have to give. Again, the widow is the illustration. The Lord was sitting there and He was watching these rich Pharisees who were coming, and they had abundance of wealth. And they were giving these large sums of money. Now, to you and me looking and not knowing what they had, we would say, wow, those are really generous givers. But Christ knew what they had. And they had so much in abundance that was no sacrifice. Even though they gave a large amount, it was no sacrifice. There was no faith involved in it because they knew they had plenty more to be their provision. And so there was no faith in the Lord to provide. That they didn't have to depend on the Lord to provide. But that widow that came, She cast in all that she had. She didn't have but two pennies. Now, we'd look at her and we'd say, well, she must be tight. She must be frugal. She won't give much. She don't have much faith. Well, God knew what she had. And He said, she's cast in more than they all cast in. Because she, out of her poverty, cast in all that she had. You see, when it comes to salvation, never expect that God will accept you coming to Him with something that you don't possess. And apart from Christ, we have not. God will not accept us. But in Christ, we have all. And that's why God accepts us. And that same principle is true concerning giving. Now, if I willingly perform giving out of what I have, no matter the amount I give, or no matter the amount I possess, and no matter the amount I give, the amount I possess could be great or it could be small. But if I give according to what I have, that means in proportion to what I have, so that it's a sacrifice, so that I'm actually having to depend on God. And I'm actually saying by that giving that I'm trusting that God is my provider and He's my life and not that substance. Then it's accepted of God. You get that? That's why He's accepted it. Why does He accept that? Same reason He accepts us when we come in Christ. It's because He gave it all to us. In salvation and temporally, He gives us all things. Now, coming to God with only what we have in Christ, which is everything, all things we have in Christ. But by faith, coming to Him, trusting in Christ, we truly have all. We're acknowledging that Christ is our life. He is our life. We're absolutely dependent on Him. We trust Him and Him alone. Not anything that we do to save ourselves. And when you come giving away money according to what we have, in proportion to what we have, so that it's like that widow. It's a sacrifice. Then we're confessing the same thing. That my life is Christ. My prosperity is by God. And He's promised He's going to provide. He's promised He will abound in all things. And I'm manifesting it in my heart. I really do believe Him. What did He say? He said, there on the first day of the week, let every man lay by in store according as God has prospered him. I'll tell you what a frugal giver does. He gives according to how he's prospered himself. A cheerful giver gives according to how God's prospered him. There's a big difference. One is saying, I'm my provider. And I'm going to have to manage this, make sure that I set my nest on high by what I've provided. God says that's covetousness. But God's child, the cheerful giver, acknowledges God's provided this. And He's promised me He'll provide all. And I see in Christ He's done it. So I don't have to worry about these temporal things. He'll provide for me. And He gives according in proportion to what He has. And manifests in his heart that God's his life. And God accepts it because God gave it all to him. God gave him the willing heart. God gave him the prosperity, the abundance of possessions to do it. God gave him worked in him the performance to do it. God gave him the opportunity to do it. A brother in need so that he had to do it. And God worked all of that in him. And so when he does it, God accepts it in Christ and for Christ's sake, who worked every bit of it. Do you believe God? I know you do. We wouldn't be sitting here where we are right now. We'd still be in that firehouse if you didn't. That's the biggest thing that's been encouraging to me about getting in this place is faith. The faith that it manifests that God's given you. That's what I'm thankful for. So that's how God measures our giving. It's according to what a man has, not what he has not. God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. Just what you have. Trust in Him who provided that to provide everything else. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank You that we have all in Christ. We have no worries concerning salvation whatsoever. Lord, make us to understand that if we have no worries in that which is greater, we certainly have no worries in that which is lesser. Thank You, Lord, that You've made Your people cheerful, sacrificial givers, made us to see that You're able to make us abound in all things. And we thank You for that. You've taken us from the dung heap, Lord, where we were just worried about self and heaping up riches for ourselves, and You've brought us to Christ's feet and made us see where our true prosperity is. We thank You for that. I pray, Lord, You'd make that clear to Your people. And we pray today that You'd bless us and give to us in abundance that we might give to You now in this service the honor and the glory and the praise that's due unto Your name. We ask You to work that in us, Lord, that we might be able to praise You and worship You and honor You in everything we do here today. Lord, if You're willing, we ask You to make it known to some lost sheep of Yours what You've done. Bring them to Christ and make them to be a cheerful giver just like You've done Your people. We pray in Christ's name for all these things, and we're thankful, Lord, that it's by Him and for His glory that You work these things in Your people. Amen.